Rosemary Martorana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov.
This is Allison Tarnopol, Chief of the Preparedness Bureau at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. In the month of September alone, New Jersey has seen the threat of a hurricane, as well as the detonation of improvised explosive devices. These events illustrate that our current preparedness climate is not predictable, and we must be prepared to respond to events that are both forecasted and those that occur without warning. Scheduled during FEMA's National Preparedness Month, this podcast will feature a discussion that includes both the public and private sector perspective as they prepare for these two types of events, notice and no notice. Specifically, we will discuss the messaging, resources, and recommendations of our state and private sector partners as they relate to emergencies that occur in New Jersey. So before we get started, let's go around the room and we'll have introductions from all of our participants.
Anthony Hurley, Vice President of Operations for Jersey Central Power and Light.
Lori Hennenbell, Chief Security Officer, Prudential Financial.
Major Dave Brady, Commanding Officer, New Jersey State Police Emergency Management Section.
Joe Galletta, Department of Human Services, Director of Emergency Management.
Eric Tzarzik, Director of Policy and Planning, New Jersey's Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness.
Great. Thank you, everyone. So let's begin the discussion today by talking about what the panel has taken away from these two recent events that have occurred in our region and what their current focus is as it relates to preparedness. Tony, would you like to start us off?
Absolutely. Thank you. In regards to the hurricane, again, we had a lot of notice there. So we went through in excess of 5 days of planning. So for there, we were ensured our preparedness. But with the bombing, of course, with no precursors, it was an event that we had to respond very quickly, which is why the relationship was so important, as we were able to receive situational awareness information. It enabled us to put together a response and ensure that we were prepared for any future events.
Major Brady, is there anything you'd like to share?
So there's one thing, you know, that became eminently clear to us, is that we must remain vigilant, and that is critically important, that the efforts that we do to prepare all the time in terms of, you know, our partnerships, collaboration, and working with our partners, the core planning efforts are very, very important and critical.
I'll add to that a little bit. I think for a company's perspective, like a financial services company, so we really think about our associates first and foremost. So in the hurricane planning, just similar to what Tony and the major said, is, you know, we had time, right? So we had good information. We were able to track. With a man-made event, like the IED event that were planted in New Jersey as well as New York, that is something that's a bit of a surprise, as Tony had suggested. And for our associates, it's unnerving. It begins a fear and a panic and some type of that, you know, uncontrollable sense that they have over themselves. They don't know who the targets are. They don't know where those are going to be. Our folks do take public transportation to get into, you know, some of our sites. So it's a different response for us. And that's when we're trying to be that mindful, not fearful, and the calm, and really put out to our associates what they are in control of, and good, sound information and situational awareness for themselves, and how important that is to report that up either through us or through our partners in the state police or in Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. And that's really what we try to message.
And for our listeners that may not be aware, how would you define the difference between notice and no-notice events?
The problem with a no-notice event is that it's a compressed time frame. But what we did learn from these two events is that the core things that we practice all the time, planning, collaboration, and working with our partners, which we have for planned events, are even more critical in terms for non-planned events. You know, the same level of cooperation that is essential in a planned event becomes even more essential in a non-planned event. Without those plans and those particular short compressed time frame, we would not be able to protect the public safety or respond well to these incidents. So it reinforces all the things that we do for planned events as well. And it also emphasizes, you know, in these non-planned events, sometimes the public fear or fear of the unknown or the rapidly evolving situations, it emphasizes that we must maintain good communications with our partners and with the public. And that was one of the takeaways we've had from these past two events. Social media sites, ready.newjersey.gov and other social media sites like Facebook and Twitter that all our agencies use and we share. It allows us to broadcast essential information to the public and public safety community at large. It allows us to prevent rumors or false fear or false information going out into the field. In addition, it fosters our collaboration and partnerships. We often, in New Jersey OEM, will be sending out messages and we'll share it with the FBI and other public safety agencies and our private partners. They'll rebroadcast our message. We'll rebroadcast their message. So it helps, one, get a consistent situational awareness amongst the group, which ultimately helps us become more effective, rapidly responding, rapidly resolving, and rapidly recovering.
And I think it's important to capitalize on what Major Brady said, the differences between the actions of notice and no notice, but especially to buttress how important planning and collaboration is, because how quickly a notice event can transform into a no notice event. For instance, in Seaside Park this past weekend, we knew of the 5K, we knew of the mass gatherings. What we didn't know was what was going to occur, and quickly it becomes a no notice response event, where all the pre-planning, communications, and collaborations for things ranging from security to mass care to even working with the private sector and how we're going to cordon off businesses becomes even more important when we now are adding in, whether it be a law enforcement component. Fortunately, we didn't have to add in a mass casualty component. But as those operations change, the planning we did up front becomes so crucial.
And I'll add to that, as the Director of Emergency Management for the Department of Human Services, we work in coordination with the State Office of Emergency Management for mass care activities, sheltering, feeding, distribution of emergency supplies, and the basic reunification of families separated. And the one thing is clear is that the preparedness and the engagement of partners is the key. And plans are only as good as when we exercise them. So it's very important to engage our partners, exercise our plans, see if they work, see if there's gaps, fill those gaps so we can respond in an efficient manner. With a notice event like Tropical Storm Hurricane Hermine coming up the coast, we had the luxury of the Hurricane Decision Support Tool where we could have different things to do, having conference calls, engaging our partners. But with something like the terrorist event at Seaside Park in New York, these are no notice that we have to respond accordingly. And the fact that we have relationships built upon the partnerships we fostered is the key, that I could pick up the phone and call anyone to assist with any type of activation. So that's the key with the no notice events.
Let me just add something in terms of community preparedness and even citizen preparedness. You know, as we've mentioned before, citizen preparedness and the community's preparedness is the cornerstone of Homeland Security. In this recent no notice event, we had an instance where an area was evacuated. An elderly residents didn't have time to take their medication with them. It became a problem later on that we had to mitigate, and we were able to resolve that problem. But sometimes in these, you ask me what the difference between a no-notice event was, maybe we need to better educate our community to be prepared for all types of events, as these are becoming more and more frequently as time goes on.
And I'll add to that from the private sector side is we use that type of feedback, that type of information, because then we can take that good information that the state is providing, and then we can now use that in a way to now inform our associates. So it's like a force multiplier of information to be able to be disseminated. And again, though we weren't good enough for this event, but these are the type of things we learn from and we share in best practices to be able to now add that to our list of communication items that we give to our associates.
I think we also need to give credit to the Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. My career, I've been in a number of states, and being here in New Jersey, when you take a look at the exercises, the workshops, the Infrastructure Advisory Council, right now we have private-public partners right here in this room. We all know one another. If the EOC, state EOC, would have activated fully and we would have been impacted by the hurricane, we would have all been there and we're not meeting each other for the first time. It's not awkward. We know each other's areas of responsibility. We know how we work with each other. Same thing goes with this bombing. If we would have been called, critical infrastructure would have been involved. It would have been very simple for the IAC to have been contacted, and we would have had subject matter experts from whatever sector was potentially being impacted in the state EOC. And again, we're all working together. So when you talk about the different events, the only real difference is one we know about, one we don't, of course, but when the response, it's pretty much the same. And the working relationship, again, is a credit to the commitment by the state.
I agree. That trust, and that's hard to build, right? It doesn't happen, as you said, when you're responding to an event. It happens ahead of time. So that trust that's been built, that information sharing, that opportunity to be able to have an area where we do share that information collectively through the IAC, or through, if they have to stand up, the Office of Emergency Management in the ROC and that public-private partnership that exists right there within that group as well. So I think all that, to your point, Tony, is tremendous, and what a value to all of us.
When you take a look at communications, you know, if you go back, you know, 10 years ago, one of the things that the private sector would talk about is the need for information. And I can tell you with this event, within hours, not only did we receive information from our partners here in the state of New Jersey, we also received information from our DHS Protective Security Advisors, the FBI. We were getting good information from a number of sources. So even, you know, when I look at that from the private sector's perspective, even if one area would not have given me the information was coming to us from so many different areas, we were guaranteed to have the most updated information at all times. And again, that just does not happen by accident. That's a commitment.
On behalf of the state, the private corporations and entities coming to the table to help us help the state be more resilient and preparedness has been a big change in my career. Cooperation amongst the individuals has never been higher. And overall, the community is better prepared and New Jersey is better off for it. So my thanks go to our private partners as well.
And that's a great point, too. And it's great that the conversation has naturally taken us to talk about public-private partnerships and, you know, the Major and Lori both noted on how we get this information out to the local communities and to the residents of our state. And so one of the last questions that we have was, you know, what is the responsibility for us to get that information out and ensure that individual residents are prepared as well?
So we are always doing that. We are always trying to, and especially now with information overload, we've tried to really consolidate information and get pertinent information out. But in those lulls, which I hope we have more lulls than actual responses, but in those lulls, we try to reinforce those things that are key, that we really need to have our associates familiar with. And then we also encourage them to share that further with their family members. And we do that through, we have tips through a mobile app, and we do that all the time. Then we also have training. We have web-based training. We have in-person training. We have situational awareness training. And then we exercise. So we try to reinforce all of those things. And we try to give our associates the ability to know where to go. And I will tell you that we are not ashamed that we use all of the state's information, whether it be Office of Homeland Security Preparedness, whether it be State of New Jersey, whether it be DHS, wherever that's coming from, we'll link directly to that. We don't want to reproduce that. We want to give them that good, solid, factual information in order to prepare them better. And then hopefully we have some muscle memory built with them that if they find themselves in an emergency, they're able to drop back into that muscle memory and do the key things to protect themselves and protect their families.
So I could speak to two ways of preparedness. One would be agency preparedness, what we do internally in terms of notification and messaging. And then I could talk to you about how we do public messaging. You know, internally amongst the state agencies and our public and private partners, we exercise all the time. We have drills. We have conference calls. We regularly communicate and we practice before these events occur and develop continuity plans and operation plans so that when we go to a no-notice event, everyone knows their role and everyone knows what to do. Internally, we have systems where we communicate through our public safety, the key group members, so that they're notified instantaneously about events or provided information. And I think some of my private partners indicated that, thankfully, some of that is working or it is working. So now what we do in terms of notifying the citizens, once again, you heard me say that, you know, citizen preparedness is a cornerstone of Homeland Security. If you're prepared, the state is better prepared. So we push out information all the time. You know, I hit on the social media sites, again, ready.newjersey.gov, Facebook, Twitter. You know, we maintain that messaging and we try to tell people that planning preparedness is not at once and done. You have to go back and do it. Keep checking your plan. Go over your plan. There are dates when you're supposed to check the battery in your fire alarm. We suggest to them that's the same time you should go over your emergency plan and look at your go kit. Your go kit changes from summer to winter. One of the most exciting things that we're doing, or one of the most positive things that I'm proud about as an organization, as a state, is CERT, the Community Emergency Response Teams. We are engaging the public in not just preparing themselves, but to support other members of their community. It has helped us involve the community. See something, say something, involves the community. Well, emergency response involves the community as well. They're a vital role and they have a vital part. So through these groups, we're able to get emergency messaging out. They're in the local communities and they spread the word too. We talked about consistent messaging and maybe retweeting and rebroadcasting the message. CERT is an outstanding opportunity for citizens to become involved and to learn more about emergency management and to better prepare their community for these events, which are becoming more frequent.
Great. And from the Human Services side, anything else you'd like to share on individual preparedness?
Well, I'll echo what Major Brady said. I mean, the fact is, from a state level, county level, town level, we're so engaged in our planning efforts. But we always like to stress it's really the family preparedness that's the key. what the family does to plan, make a kit, have a kit, go kit as Major mentioned, stay informed, and of course have a plan and be prepared. It's very critical, and Commissioner Connolly from the Department of Human Services is very proactive of that, posting messages on our Facebook page, social media outlets, our website, to make sure that our staff are prepared for any type of event. The resources, as the Major mentioned, ready.nj.gov, a great resource, njhomelandsecurity.gov, outstanding resource, ready.gov, and redcross.org. These are all websites that people can go to and make their plans, make their kit, and stay informed about any type of disaster that may be confronted, notice or no notice.
I think to bring what the state and our private sector partners are doing to a good segue and bring it together and to show that we're not just focused on larger organizations like a Prudential or JCP&L, we try to hold sessions like this out in the communities to really further what Lori had discussed about how we can empower not just the company itself, but the employees to be a resource in the communities. We do that through the Hometown Security Initiative. We strive to provide resources for not just overall business continuity planning, but also individual preparedness planning and any other resources that would make the community as a whole more resilient. I think what else is important is we also try to empower folks with information on suspicious activity reporting and places where they can not just go for information, but to learn how they can provide the government with information.
When you talk about information, we've learned that information is key to our customers. So with an event like a major storm or potential hurricane, proactively we're out there communicating with customers, legislators, regulators, and then our partners. Let everyone know the safety message that we feel is required for the incident that we're about ready to embark on, the staffing, what preparedness steps we've taken, and also what we expect. And that is key so that, we say life decisions can be made so people can be best prepared. With this incident in regards to the IED communications, the information that we were getting, our communications went to our employees. We then took the opportunity to remind them of the See Something, Say Something campaign and the fact that, with 1,500 plus employees out there, that's a lot of eyes out there throughout the area that JCP&L serves, that we also could observe something and turn that in. And we reminded everybody of that. That's why that information was so necessary for us to receive in a timely fashion.
And that's very important that citizens are keenly aware of the events that took place this weekend. The See Something, Say Something, the 866-4-SAFE-NJ number, and of course 211 is so simple for a vigilant society, and when you see something suspicious, to please report it.
And so now as September and Preparedness Month come to a close, are there any last pieces of advice for our listeners from all of our participants today?
The only advice I would give is that, again, we do things, we box in hurricane season with certain dates, but just rest assured that we don't drop our guard just because of a date on a calendar, that, with one season, then the next season comes, and it's the ice season, and it's the winter storm season, and it's the summer, spring thunderstorm season. The fact is that a utility and, just like other members of the Infrastructure Advisory Council, we have to be prepared for any type of incident as reference to either the storms or the potential for a terrorism threat. And we're seeing more and more of that overlap in regards to our preparedness.
I would echo what Tony said. I think that, again, no matter what the season, I think there's always information we can share. What we try to do in Prudential is position it with our associates in a certain format, so it's then easily remember. I talked about muscle memory and building that. So, again, it's that all-hazards approach that the Major had discussed earlier that we try to instill, and then just break that down in smaller snippets so it's easily digestible to the employees that we have, and then they can use that again, whether they're in the workplace or outside of the workplace.
I would say that, Homeland Security is a whole community responsibility, not just a governmental responsibility. Remaining vigilant and staying on top of your plan. Preparedness is an ongoing and continual process.
I would say make sure you continue to engage your partners, whether it's public or private sector. Practice your plans, and by far the most important, family preparedness. It starts with the family.
And I would only echo what Joe said earlier. I think the planning is important, but understanding how to provide information to the government as well as getting information from the government, the 866-4-SAFE New Jersey line or New Jersey's 211 line.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.